Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. If it's the top of the hour, 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and we want to hear directly from you. Come on into the studio. Be a part of today's broadcast. If you have a question or some pressing issue you'd like to discuss, this is your opportunity. Give us a call right now at 844-322-2742, and that's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it now, because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. You know, I've met a lot of people, and this was me years ago as well, who go into the Word of God and they read and they finish their reading for the day or whatever it might be, and they don't remember anything that they've read. It
that's
just
me.
seems like a mystery book. And a lot of times that's the way it is. It just doesn't make sense. I can't figure out what it's saying. I can't understand what these writers are trying to put forth. And the reason that's the case is because this is spiritual truth, and spiritual truth can only be understood by a spiritual mind.
Right.
And we come into this world with a natural mind, and to our natural minds, this is all foolishness. Paul talks about that in his letter to the Corinthians, and that is for sure. I mean, I used to read this, and I started the University of Georgia with a Bible reading plan. I'm going to read 4 chapters every day, and I did that for maybe a month, read 4 chapters every day, got pretty far into the New Testament. If you ask me at the end of the month what I had learned, I'd say I don't have a clue.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just a mystery book to me. And Paul gives us the reason. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him, these things God has revealed to us through the Spirit. So if we're going to know what this Bible is all about, it has to be revealed to us by the very Spirit of God. Now, here's the good news. For the Spirit searches everything, even the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the spirit of that person which is in him? So also, no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God knows the thoughts of God. I know what I'm thinking. You may not know what I'm thinking, and I certainly don't know what you're thinking, unless you tell me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same with God. Only the Spirit of God knows what God is thinking. Now, here's the good news. Now, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So God knew our dilemma. He knew that we had natural minds and that it was going to be impossible for us to comprehend spiritual truths.
Mm-hmm.
So he sent his Spirit to take up residence in us
and reveal those things.
And that Spirit reveals the things that we have in Christ to us. He takes the things of the Lord Jesus and he makes them known to us. So as Paul goes on, it says we have the mind of Christ. So now we can think with God's thoughts. Why? Because the Spirit of God has revealed what those thoughts are to us.
Yes.
That is good news. So anytime you go to the Word of God, if you're still lost, this Word of God is going to be foolishness to you. But the moment you come to Christ, the moment that you're saved, God sends a teacher to take up residence in you.
Yeah.
He is the Spirit of God. He is the Spirit of truth. So when you open up the Word of God, you do so in dependence upon your teacher to reveal the meaning. And I guarantee you, he will reveal it, and this Word of God will jump to life, and you'll think somebody has come in and totally rewritten it.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. It's still the same words,
mm-hmm.
but it's the Spirit of God that animates those words for you and gives your mind the ability to comprehend, to understand, and to apply in your day-to-day life.
And I know we've both seen that, and all of our staff has seen that.
Yes, indeed.
The revelation of the Spirit within us. So thanks, Bob, for those thoughts. It is Basic Gospel, everybody. And again, open lines at 844-322-2742. 1-800-259-2742. We want to hear from you. If it's maybe 4 minutes after 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing the live broadcast, and this is your greatest opportunity to come in and into the studio and pose your question to us. We'd love to hear from you right now at 844-322-2742. And, Bob, as we move deeper into October, talk to our listeners a little bit about what it means to us as a ministry for them to stand by us in this message of grace in the Lord Jesus.
Well, it is wonderful to have a team of people who are joining together to deliver to the good news out there to the world through the airwaves, through our internet portals, through the different partnerships that we have. Why? Because, boy, this message of grace, this good news of Jesus Christ is so needed mm-hmm. in the world today. I mean, you just pick up a newspaper, if there is such a thing as a newspaper anymore. yeah. Maybe you look at it online or something like that. But, man, you just see a world that's in darkness. You see a world that is confused. You see a world that is chaotic. You see a world that continues to decay. Mm-hmm. The values and the morality that was once kind of in place is eroding. Yeah. And we just see that happening before our eyes, and you think, what's going to change that? Well, there's only one thing that's going to change that, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it needs to get out there. I mean, there's every other kind of message going out over radio airwaves, and it's being promoted through internet platforms. I mean, you can hear all kinds of crazy stuff.
Sure, absolutely.
But somebody needs to hear the good news of Jesus. So when you partner with Basic Gospel, you are bringing the good news of Jesus Christ to people all around the world, and I can't think of a better investment. So come join. Be a part of what God is doing through Basic Gospel. We would love to partner with you. We would love to have you a part of the team, and it's easy to do, isn't it, Bob?
Absolutely. Now or anytime, just visit the website, basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage, again, at basicgospel.net. And when you make your October gift, we're going to say thank you for your partnership with us by sending you our book called The Basic Gospel. The name tells the stories I've said before, and again, you can make your gift anytime at basicgospel.net. Well, Bob, we had this call that came in overnight. Let's listen.
Hi there. I'm worried that I was or am a false prophet because of an incident at Easter where I guess it was the Spirit of God but also of the enemy. It was very profound. But now I'm struggling and I'm just wondering, you know, it says that leaving and walking away from God after knowing him is like a dog returning to its own vomit. And I don't know where I stand and if the Old Testament is more true because I lean on the New Testament with Jesus. And I honestly don't understand the Trinity as well. So I don't know if you could help me, but that's a tall order. Thank you for listening. Bye.
Well, we certainly hope we can help.
Yeah,
and I think there's some good news here that we can share with you. I mean, we come into this world dead spiritually. That's our problem. We are in bondage to the power of sin and death. And there's no way that we can escape that. And when we're dead spiritually, we're controlled by the forces of darkness. We may say things, we may do things that just will you know, curl the hair on the back of your head.
Yeah.
You just think how gross and all of that is. And fear can grip our hearts and then think, hey, we're beyond the reach of God. And certainly I hear that in this lady's voice, that she feels like she's beyond the reach of God because she's identified herself as a false prophet, and there's no hope there. I mean, 2 Peter chapter 2 is a pretty bleak chapter, and it speaks to false prophets, those who are perverting the gospel of Jesus Christ for their own personal gain, trying to lure people to their teaching so that it'll benefit them. That's a horrible place to be.
Absolutely.
But no one's beyond the reach of God's grace. And that's what we need to recognize, that Christ took all of our sins upon himself 2,000 years ago. He died in our place. Then he was buried, and then he was raised back to life. Why? So that we could cross over from death to life. So our spiritual problem could be solved once and for all. So my encouragement to you is to take a look at the gospel, take a fresh look at the gospel. Paul spells it out for us in just the clearest of terms in 1 Corinthians 15, where he says this, that Jesus died for our sins in accordance with Scripture, that he was buried, and then on the third day he was raised back to life in accordance with Scripture. That is the good news. That is the event that has taken place. It took place 2,000 years ago, and it has effect on you today when you receive it, when you receive Jesus Christ, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you're saved. You cross over from death to life. And when that happens, God sends his Spirit to take up residence inside of you. And all of these things that you can't figure out in reading the Word of God will be made known to you. Piece by piece, little by little, building upon building block upon building block. Mm-hmm. All of that will start becoming clear to you. You will be able to see the Trinity spelled out in the Word of God. You're never going to see that word Trinity,
yeah,
but you're going to see the fullness of the Godhead in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. All of that is going to be made clear to you, but what is of priority as far as God is concerned for you is that you cross over from death to life, and the only way to do that is through faith in Jesus Christ, yeah, believing in the one whom God sent. That is Jesus, and resting in what he's accomplished for you through his death, his burial, his resurrection.
Mm-hmm.
That will free you up. That will cross you over from death to life. That will enable you to really understand what this good news is all about.
We didn't get this caller's name, but, ma'am, we hope this is a help to you. And we're glad that you reached out. If you have other questions, don't hesitate to reach out again. We'd love to hear from you. But, again, if it's about 12 minutes after 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and the number 844-322-2742 will allow you to come in and be a part of today's broadcast. And, of course, that's why we're here live. We want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. We had this call from YouTube viewer Alden. He says, did all the disciples of Christ become new creations? New Christians, right?
Yes. And the answer to that is no. I mean, there was Judas Iscariot.
Sure.
And he betrayed Christ Jesus. He was a son of perdition. He committed suicide. There was remorse, but no repentance. And that's the sad thing, because Jesus would have gladly taken him back.
Mm-hmm.
But he died. Satan filled his mind. He carried out his deed, and he died feeling remorseful for that, but not repentant for
right.
that. Now, all the other disciples, the remaining 11, they continued. They watched Jesus die. They heard the news that he was resurrected. They saw him. They saw Jesus in his resurrected body.
Mm-hmm.
And then when God gave the Spirit on that day of Pentecost, they received the Spirit. And so they were made new creations then. And they picked somebody to take up that 12th spot, Matthias. And we read about that. But all of those disciples did become Christians, and they carried the torch of the gospel first to the Jew, then to the Samaritan, and then to the Gentile, mm-hmm. as the book of Acts records. So, yes, they became new creatures in Christ, except for Judas.
Yes. Well, Alden, great to hear from you. Thanks for reaching out. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis. Glad you're here. And, friends, we want to remind you of the live video stream of this program as Alden partakes every day on YouTube. You can go to basicgospel.net, and right at the very top of the homepage, you'll find links to both Facebook and YouTube. And you can come into the studio and see the live broadcast, and we would love for you to do that. So this is your invitation. Take advantage of it, and we would love to see you be a part of that. Well, we had this this question from George. He says, could you please comment on Luke 9, verses 23 through 26, in light of the New Covenant?
Well, it's interesting. In Luke 9, we have the story of Peter confessing that Jesus is the Christ. It's a story that takes place at Caesarea Philippi. It's one of my favorite passages. Matthew records it, and we see a little snippet of it right here. Now, it happened that as he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he said, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And they answered, "John the Baptist, but others say Elijah, and others that one of the prophets of old has risen." Then he said, but who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered, "The Christ of God." So Peter was revealed that by the Father. And then he goes on to say, "And he strictly charged and commanded them to tell this to no one. Now the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised back to life." So there's the gospel. There's the good news. So Jesus tells them what's going to happen. He's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to die. He's going to be buried. And on the third day, he's going to be raised back to life. Now, they didn't really understand what was going on. But he elaborates and he says, "Now, if anyone would come after me, so let them deny themselves and take up his cross daily and follow him. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him will be the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." So there's this death that's going to happen, and it is a brutal death. Mm-hmm. Now, the Jews were expecting a conquering Messiah. They wanted somebody that they could be proud of, somebody that they could attach themselves to, somebody that they could identify with in victory over the Roman Empire. And in the reconstituting of the nation of Israel and lifting it up as the preeminent nation in the world, the nation through which all blessings would flow to other nations. Mm-hmm. That's what they were expecting. But this Messiah, Jesus himself, was going to conquer sin and death in a very different way.
Right.
He was going to be crucified, executed as a common criminal, just on a side of the road where people could watch, just considered trash. That's how it was going to take place. And so he's saying, "Hey, if you're going to follow me, this is what's going to happen. And just as I'm going to die, for you to experience the power of the resurrection, the reality of the resurrection, you're going to have to die too."
Mm-hmm.
And that's all this is saying.
Yeah.
That you need to sever yourself from the world, this source of life that you've been depending upon, so that you can receive real life in Jesus Christ. So if you're trying to gain the world, you're going to forfeit your soul.
Yeah.
But if you want to gain your soul, then look to Christ. Mm-hmm. And that's what he's saying.
Yes.
So this is a passage about what it's going to take for them to be saved. And it's simply following Jesus, trusting him, and allowing the story of the gospel to become their story.
Yeah.
So that's good news.
George, thanks for reaching out. Good to hear from you. And friends, I want to remind you that Basic Gospel has many resources to help you, our listeners, hear, believe, and live in this good news of Jesus Christ. Now, included in those is Bob Christopher's excellent book, Simple Gospel, Simply Grace, along with many other items, Bible study guides, teaching series, books, CDs, DVDs, all there to help you grow in your understanding of God's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, you'll find it all under resources at basicgospel.net. Now, flowing right into that is this question from Morgan, who is a YouTube viewer. She says, "I need help walking in the Lord. What books in the Bible should I read?" That's from Morgan.
Well, that's a great question, Morgan. And where I would suggest that you go is the book of John, the Gospel of John. It is a wonderful, wonderful book that really lifts up the person of Jesus Christ. And so you'll meet him at the very beginning as the Word that was with God, the Word that was God, and this Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. You will understand why he came, to show us the goodness of his Father, to reveal to us what God is really like. You will encounter seven different statements that he makes about himself. We call these the I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. So you will see how Jesus is saying that he is going to meet every need of your heart. You were once in darkness. He is your light. Yeah. You once were hungry, trying to find significance and meaning and purpose to life, searching out there in the world, and you realize, no, he's the bread of life. He's the one that's going to sustain you. He's the resurrection. So you were in that old life. Well, in Christ you die, and you come alive, raised to walk in the newness of life, so that you have hope here and now and hope beyond the grave. Mm-hmm. So the book of John really spells that out, and it gives some significant truths in there about the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, that when Jesus ascended, he was going to send the Spirit, and this Spirit was going to be our comforter, was going to guide us into all truth, was going to be the one to take the things of the Lord Jesus and make them known unto us. We see the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus at the very end, and those powerful words that he cried out from the cross, "It is finished." Yeah. And then you see kind of the last chapters on the resurrection, about Mary going to the tomb and mm-hmm. meeting Jesus in the garden, and then telling the disciples that he's alive. And you just get this sense of great hope and fulfillment in, hey, this is the person I get to know, this Jesus mm-hmm. of Nazareth, who died on my behalf, who was raised again to come and live inside of me. And then John concludes that gospel with, here's the reason that I wrote it. I wrote all of these things so that you can know that Jesus is the Christ, and that in knowing that, you can believe him and receive life in his name.
Yeah.
So, Morgan, read the book of John. Read as much as you can in a given sitting, and then pick up and keep reading and keep reading, and just let the bigness of the story just overwhelm you, just engulf you, and to really open your eyes to see Jesus in a new and fresh way.
Thank you, Morgan, for reaching out. Very quickly, Bob from Glenna and Pawnee, Oklahoma. She says, I listened to you and Andrew about rest, but how do you rest when you get a sermon on the servants and the coins? If Jesus is the master who was happy with the first two men but threw away the third for not multiplying his coin, if so, this is not the Jesus you tell us about, the one who loves us unconditionally. It seems to say you better get to work or you'll be thrown away, and that you'll be judged on what you have but not what you have not done. Yeah. Have not done.
Well, the whole point of that particular parable is faith and fear. So the first two operated in faith. They listened to the master, and they kind of believed and acted on that. The mm-hmm. third kind of hid his minas, and when he came back, he said, I was afraid. I was afraid of losing it. So right. he acted in fear. And when we act in fear, we're never going to be at rest. And so that's why we need to look at the finished work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. There, God demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And so when we see that love of God demonstrated there, that love starts to cast away our fear, and then we begin to respond to God in faith. And that's when we experience that rest mm-hmm. that God has offered to us in Jesus Christ.
Again, Glenna, glad you reached out to us. And friends, thanks for being with us today for Basic Gospel. Tomorrow we continue in our series of Bob Christopher's Top 10 Favorite Passages This will be number 7 in the series, and we hope you'll be here for that. In the meantime, if you have a question, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, or you can drop an email to bob@basicgospel.net. And once again, we want to say thanks to everyone who stands with us as we get this message out far and wide, this message called Basic Gospel. Give us a call on Monday, as a matter of fact, because tomorrow's broadcast, the lines will not be open, but it will be Bob's number 7, and we'll see you then. Bye.